Page 254, Chapter 10, How Galahad Departed with the Shield, and How King Evelake Had Received the Shield of Joseph of Arimathea. Sir Galahad, said the squire, that knight that wounded Bogdamagus sendeth you greeting, and bade that ye should bear this shield, wherethrough great adventures should befall. Now blessed be good and fortune, said Galahad. And then he asked his arms, and mounted upon his horse, and hung the white shield about his neck, and commended them unto God. And Sir Uwain said he would bear him fellowship, if it pleased him. Sir, said Galahad, that may ye not, for I must go alone, save this squire shall bear me fellowship. And so departed Uwain. And then within a while came Galahad, thereas the white knight abode him by the hermitage, and every each saluted other courteously. Sir, said Galahad, by this shield be many marvels fallen? Sir, said the knight, it befell after the passion of our Lord Jesu Christ, 32 years, that Joseph of Arimathea, the gentle knight, the which took down our Lord off the holy cross, at that time he departed from Jerusalem with a great party of his kindred with him. And so he labored till they came to a city that hight Sarras. And at that same hour that Joseph came to Sarras, there was a king that hight Evelake, that had great war against the Saracens, and in especial against one Saracen, the which was King Evelake's cousin, a rich king and a mighty, which marched nigh this land, and his name was Talem le Fent. So on a day these two met to do battle. Then Joseph, the son of Joseph of Arimathea, went to King Evelake and told him he should be discomfited and slain, but if he left his belief of the old law, and believe upon the new law. Then there he showed him the right belief of the Holy Trinity, to the which he agreed unto with all his heart. And there this shield was made for King Evelake, in the name of him that died upon the cross. Page 255. And then through his good belief he had the better of King Tolem. For when Evelake was in the battle, there was a cloth set afore the shield, and when he was in the greatest peril, he let put away the cloth, and then his enemies saw a figure of a man on the cross, wherethrough they all were discomfort. And so it befell that a man of King Evelake's was smitten his hand off, and bare that hand in his other hand. And Joseph called that man unto him, and bade him go with good devotion touch the cross. And as soon as that man had touched the cross with his hand, it was as whole as ever it was tofore. Then soon after there fell a great marvel, that the cross of the shield at one time vanished away, that no man wist where it became. And then King Evelake was baptized, and for the most part all the people of that city. So soon after Joseph would depart, and King Evelake would go with him, whether he would or nod, so on by fortune they came unto this land, that at that time was called Great Britain. And there they found a great felon, Paynim, that put Joseph into prison. And so by fortune tidings came unto a worthy man that hight Mundramese. End note 1 text. And he assembled all his people for the great renown he had heard of Joseph. And so he came into the land of Great Britain, and disinherited this felon Paynim, and consumed him, and therewith delivered Joseph out of prison. And after that all the people were turned to the Christian faith. Chapter 11. How Joseph made a cross on the white shield with his blood, and how Galahad was by a monk brought to a tomb. Not long after that Joseph was laid in his deadly bed, and when King Evelake saw that, he made such sorrow, and said, For thy love I have left my country, and sith ye shall depart out of this world, leave me some token of yours, that I may think on you. Page 256. Joseph said, That will I do full gladly. Now bring me your shield that I took you when you went into battle against King Tolem. Then Joseph bled sore at the nose, so that he might not by no mean be staunched. And thereupon that shield he made a cross of his own blood. Now may ye see a remembrance that I love ye, for ye shall never see this shield, but ye shall think on me, and it shall be always as fresh as it is now. And never shall man bear this shield about his neck, but he shall repent it, unto the time that Galahad the good knight bear it. And the last of my lineage shall have it about his neck, that shall do many marvellous deeds. Now, said King Evelake, where shall I put this shield, that this worthy knight may have it? Ye shall leave it thereas Nation the Hermit shall be put after his death. for thither shall that good knight come the 15th day after that he shall receive the order of knighthood. And so that day that they set is this time that he have his shield, and in the same abbey lieth Nation the hermit. Then the white knight vanished away. Anon, as the squire had heard these words, he let off his hackney, and kneeled down at Galahad's feet, and prayed him that he might go with him till he had made him knight. "If I would not refuse you, then will ye make me a knight?" said the squire. "And that order, by the grace of God, shall be well set in me." So Sir Galahad granted him, and turned again unto the abbey that there they came from. And there men made great joy of Sir Galahad, and anon as he was alit, there was a monk brought him unto a tomb in a churchyard, where that was such a noise that who that heard it should verily nigh be mad or lose his strength. And, sir, they said, we deem it is a fiend. Page 257. Chapter 12. Of the marvel that Sir Galahad saw and heard in the tomb, and how he made Melias knight. "Now lead me thither," said Galahad. And so they did, all armed, save his helm. "Now," said the good man, "go to the tomb and lift it up." So he did, and heard a great noise, and piteously he said, that all men might hear it, "Sir Galahad, the servant of Jesu Christ, come thou not nigh me, for thou shalt make me go again there where I have been so long." But Galahad was nothing afraid, but lift up the stone. And there came out so foul a smoke, and after he saw the foulest figure leap thereout that ever he saw in the likeness of a man, and then he blessed him, and wist well it was a fiend. Then heard he a voice say, "Galahad, I see there environ about thee so many angels that my power may not dare thee." Right so Sir Galahad saw a body all armed lie in that tomb, and beside him a sword. "Now, fair brother," said Galahad, "let us remove this body, for it is not worthy to lie in this churchyard, for he was a false Christian man." And therewith they all departed and went to the abbey. And anon, as he was unarmed, a good man came and set him down by him and said, "Sir, I shall tell you what betokeneth all that ye saw in the tomb. For that covered body betokeneth the duress of the world." [Footnote on duress reads affliction. Text.] "And the great sin that our Lord found in the world. For there was such wretchedness that the Father loved not the Son, or the Son loved not the Father. And that was one of the causes that our Lord took flesh and blood of a clean maiden, for our sins were so great at that time that well nigh all was wickedness." "Truly," said Galahad, "I believe you right well." So Sir Galahad rested him there that night, and upon the morn he made the squire knight, and asked him his name, and of what kindred he was come. Page 258. "Sir," said he, "men calleth me Melias de Lisle, and I am the son of the King of Denmark." "Now, fair sir," said Galahad, "sith that ye be come of kings and queens, now looketh that knighthood be well set in you, for ye ought to be a mirror unto all chivalry." "Sir," said Sir Melias, "ye say sooth. But, sir, sithen ye have made me a knight, ye must of right grant me my first desire that is reasonable." "Ye say sooth," said Galahad. Melias said, "Then that ye will suffer me to ride with you in this quest of the Sangreal, till that some adventure depart us." "I grant you, sir." Then men brought Sir Melias his armor, and his spear, and his horse. And so Sir Galahad and he rode forth all that week, or they found any adventure. And then upon a Monday in the morning, as they were departed from an abbey, they came to a cross which departed two ways, and in that cross were letters written that said thus, "Now, ye knights errant, the which goeth to seek knights adventurous, see here two ways. That one way defendeth thee, that thou nee go that way, for he shall not go out of the way again, but if he be a good man and a worthy knight. And if thou go on the left hand, thou shalt not lightly there win prowess, for thou shalt in this way be soon assayed." "Sir," said Melias to Galahad, "it is like you to suffer me to take the way on the left hand, tell me, for there I shall well prove my strength." "It were better," said Galahad, "ye rode not that way, for I deem I should better escape in that way than ye." "Nay, my lord, I pray you let me have that adventure." "Take it in God's name," said Galahad. Page 259. Chapter 13. Of the adventure that Melias had, and how Galahad revenged him, and how Melias was carried into an abbey. and then Medius into an old forest, and therein he rode 2 days and more. And then he came into a fair meadow, and there was a fair lodge of boughs. And then he espied in that lodge a chair, wherein was a crown of gold, subtly wrought. Also there were cloths covered upon the earth, and many delicious meats set thereon. Sir Melias beheld this adventure, and thought it marvellous, but he had no hunger, but of the crown of gold he took much keep. And therewith he stooped down and took it up, and rode his way with it. And anon he saw a knight came riding after him that said, "Knight, set down that crown which is not yours, and therefore defendeth you." Then Sir Melias blessed him and said, "Fair Lord of heaven, help and save thy new-made knight." And then they let their horses run as fast as they might, so that the other knight smote Sir Melias through hauberk and through the left side, that he fell to the earth nigh dead. And then he took the crown and went his way, and Sir Melias lay still, and had no power to stir. In the meanwhile, by fortune, there came Sir Galahad, and found him there in peril of death. And then he said, "Ah, Melias, who hath wounded you? Therefore it had been better to have ridden the other way." And when Sir Melias heard him speak, "Sir," he said, "for God's love, let me not die in this forest, but bear me unto the abbey here beside, that I may be confessed and have my rites." "It shall be done," said Galahad. "But where is he that hath wounded you?" With that Sir Galahad heard in the leaves cry on high, "Knight, keep thee from me." "Ah, sir," said Melias, "beware, for that is he that hath slain me." Page 260. Sir Galahad answered, "Sir knight, come on your peril." Then either dressed to other, and came together as fast as their horses might run. And Galahad smote him so that his spear went through his shoulder, and smote him down off his horse, and in the falling Galahad's spear brake. With that came out another knight out of the leaves, and brake a spear upon Galahad, or ever he might turn him. Then Galahad drew out his sword, and smote off the left arm of him, so that it fell to the earth. And then he fled, and Sir Galahad sued fast after him. And then he turned again unto Sir Melias, and there he alit, and dressed him softly on his horse to fore him, for the truncheon of his spear was in his body. And Sir Galahad start up behind him, and held him in his arms, and so brought him to the abbey, and there unarmed him, and brought him to his chamber. And then he asked his Saviour. And when he had received him, he said unto Sir Galahad, "Sir, let death come when it pleased him." And therewith he drew out the truncheon of the spear out of his body, and then he swooned. Then came there an old monk, which sometime had been a knight, and beheld Sir Melias, and anon he ransacked him. And then he said unto Sir Galahad, "I shall heal him of this wound by the grace of God within the term of 7 weeks." Then was Sir Galahad glad, and unarmed him, and said he would abide there 3 days. And then he asked Sir Melias how it stood with him. Then he said he was turned unto helping, God be thanked. Chapter 14. How Galahad departed, and how he was commanded to go to the castle of maidens to destroy the wicked custom. "Now will I depart," said Galahad, "for I have much on hand, for many good knights be full busy about it, and this knight and I were in the same quest of the Sangreal."